Historian Alan Brinkley won a National Book Award for his book Voices of Protest, which chronicled the Depression-era careers of Huey Long and Father Coughlin. In his latest book, called The Publisher, Brinkley turns to another powerful figure of the 20th century, Henry Luce. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The weirdest and maybe even the most revealing episode in Alan Brinkley's teeming biography of Henry Luce occurred in 1960, when Luce, a publishing potentate who reigned over an empire that included Time magazine, Sports Illustrated, Fortune, and Life, experimented with LSD. Luce's second wife, the playwright, congresswoman, and Luce canon, Claire Booth Luce, had already dabbled with the hallucinogen under a psychiatrist's supervision. Claire later claimed she'd cajoled her husband into trying LSD to provide him with the same serenity the drug had given her, and thus save their troubled marriage. Whatever the reasons, Luce took a dose and then, according to the psychiatrist's diary, sat down at his desk and began calmly reading Lionel Trilling's biography of Matthew Arnold. Even LSD couldn't whisk Henry Luce off on a magic carpet ride. No matter how much he may have yearned to attain freaky visions, Luce was always tethered to late Victorian ideas about duty and ethical culture. In The Publisher, Alan Brinkley has written a largely sympathetic and terrifically engrossing biography of Luce, the tycoon who, through his magazines and newsreels, helped change the way Americans in the 20th century got their news. Reading Luce's biography these days, when the future of print journalism is such a big question mark, makes for both a sentimental and unsettling experience. Sure, it's easy to be nostalgic about an era when two young whippersnappers, Luce and his schoolmate Britt Haddon, could dream up a news magazine, call it Time, and after its launch in 1923, watch it become a success in a few scant years. But if you're of an age to even dimly remember copies of Time and Life blanketing family coffee tables and school libraries across the land, it's also disturbing to realize what dominion Luce's opinions had. Luce loathed Roosevelt and the New Deal and prided himself on being a fierce cold warrior, particularly in regard to communist China. Brinkley concedes that Luce's conservative politics unquestionably shaped his outlet's coverage of the news. But Brinkley also says that Luce's most crucial influence during what Luce himself memorably called the American Century was his magazine's boosterish promotion of an upbeat, abundant American way of life. His magazines and newsreels were charged with spreading the gospel of democracy and capitalism to the rest of the world. As in so many biographies of the famous and powerful, it's the first half of Brinkley's biography, the chapters devoted to Luce's youth and empire building, that are the most fascinating. Luce was born in 1898 in China to missionary parents. Dispatched at age 10 to boarding school, which he described in letters home as a hanging torture, Luce eventually landed at Yale as a scholarship student. There, he and his friend Haddon cooked up the idea for a digest that would provide news for the busy. With critical gusto, Brinkley dissects the success of Time and Luce's other ventures, giving special attention to the idiosyncratic writing style of Time magazine, which was modeled on the lively and lofty language of the Iliad. Where Homer wrote of a wine-dark sea, Time invented similar compound adjectives to describe people in the news, for instance, flabby-chinned and snaggle-toothed. Brinkley also attempts to dissect the more firmly closed book of Luce's personality. He was, by all accounts, an odd duck. socially awkward yet frantically ambitious, in a way I think reminiscent of Richard Nixon, Luce compensated for his insecurities by assertions of ego. He once said, for instance, that he was smarter than Einstein because he, Luce, was a generalist, while Einstein was only a specialist. Throughout his life, Luce was burdened by a charge, inherited from his missionary parents, that everything he did had to be serious, had to have a higher purpose. Brinkley observes that after Luce's death in 1967, his empire began to dwindle. But one enormous success was the advent of People magazine in 1974. What would Luce, the stolid man who read about Matthew Arnold while tripping, think about all those pages wasted on the Goslins and Brangelina?
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Publisher, Henry Luce and His American Century by Alan Brinkley.